Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing thing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
It's the mental equivalent of stretching before you do any serious exercise.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, dressing for Zoom.
Why did people used to put a suit on to go to work? And some of it was to impress other people, perhaps, but some of it was for yourself. It created a costume and a persona that you could adopt to be a productive member of the working world. And the more that we merge the way that we dress when we're at leisure and when we're at work, the harder it is to begin to separate those personas in ways that can cut both ways. It can make leisure harder because you're constantly feeling like, well, I'm dressed for work. But on the other hand, at times like this, it can make it hard to get into the mindset that I've got to really crack down and get some stuff done because I'm sitting on the bed in sweats surrounded by junk food.
But you know what's interesting to me is how many features of our environment provide signals to us to what's going on right now. And of course, one of those signals, which is location, it is now taken away because the location is sitting in front of my computer and looking at a Zoom screen. So that set of cues is gone. But now what used to be all of these separate spaces that signaled you're working now, you're resting now, you're eating now, all of those spaces have now become the same space or often the same space. And now to think about, to get your mind in a place where you think I should be working and concentrating and focusing now, and you're in the same room where you kick back and rest and even sleep, that's a challenge because we underestimate how much we're influenced by all those environmental cues. And so, you know, the challenge for anybody is how do I differentiate this is a friendly Zoom call, this is work, this is a class, you know, because right now it all kind of seems the same. It's the same screen, it's in the same place, I'm in the same chair. That's a challenge for everybody, I think.
Yeah. You can have subtle differences. It doesn't have to be that you're putting on a formal outfit, but there needs to be some change. I have discovered, without actually really intending this, I wear jeans every day now, which I never used to do going into work, but I wear jeans every day because I'm just walking to the front of the house. But I have two pairs of jeans that are my work jeans. And I have a couple other pairs that are like my after work jeans. So I end the work day and I exercise. And then when I get dressed again, I put on different jeans. It creates a separation. It's like I'm in the work mode or I'm not in the work mode.
You know, though, I think one of the things that I think is difficult, especially for children who are trying to learn remotely, I think it's especially challenging for them when there aren't the cues that let you know you're in school now. The same iPad that you play games on is now your teacher's on there and your assignments are on there. And there's such a conflation of purposes that make it difficult for many people just to deal with it. And I think it's especially weighs heavily on children because they're not cognizing about, well, now I'm in my learning environment, you know, when everything about everything looks exactly the same, except the little person on the square on my computer. And I think, you know, as parents trying to help students do that, even deciding that there are certain places in your house where when it's school time, we're going to take the iPad here, or we're going to take the computer here, or something that presents another signal that we have a different task now. This is a different focus now.
You know, it's something we have to be really careful of as we change some of these traditions associated with the way we dress, that we should recognize that, you know, there are certainly some things that we do that were being done to promote a particular image from the outside. And not all of those were positive, right? And And there's been lots of discussions about gender differences in dress for work differences in race and ethnicity in dress for work. But I think that we have to realize that there's a certain amount of the way that we present ourselves that actually affects the way we ourselves engage with the world and gives us an attitude of the appropriate level of effort and seriousness with which a particular task is supposed to be taken, that when we lose that, can actually affect the quality of what we do.
Especially when you're the one initiating that, that's part of that exerting control yourself and not just responding to cues that are coming at you from other people.
Well, and to create the mood for it. I mean, I think, you know, the way we dress, the way we present ourselves creates a mood. You know, the preparation itself develops a mindset. Don't just roll out of bed and say it's time for work because that even that preparation creates a mindset for the next thing that you're going to do. And I think we don't necessarily appreciate the degree to which all of that becomes part of the process. I mean, it's the mental equivalent of stretching before you do any serious exercise. It just creates that warm up that you need in order to be ready for the intellectual and emotional challenges of the workday or the school day. And that's why that preparation is needed. And it's also why you need a cool down from work. You can find that a difficult transition to make as well. You may actually not transition yourself out of work mode, or at least find it very difficult to strike that balance. And I think creating routines around the end of the day, even changing into your evening jeans, is a way of marking that separation and saying, okay, I'm done with this for the day. I'm putting it aside. And it is so valuable to step away from work and school and those things, because you do need downtime. You do need time to think about other things. It creates resilience and it allows you to build those other relationships in your life.
Next week, we'll talk about how to cure writer's block with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is usually our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.